Good evening, everybody. This is Mark from MetalForever.com. We're waiting for Sean Peck to dial in from Death Dealer and Cage Heavy Metal. Sean's got a new album out with Death Dealer and also with Cage, so he's got a lot going on. So we'll give it a minute and wait for him to dial on in, and we'll get started. Thank you for Sean Peck, Mark from Metal Forever.
Sean Peck.
How you doing, Sean, tonight? Thanks for dialing. I really appreciate it.
Sure.
All right, so can you hear me okay?
Yeah, sounds good.
All right, great. So, hey, I know I'm keeping you from a Monday night football game, so let's get into some of the heavy metal questions, and then we'll hopefully you can catch the rest of the game this evening. So you said you're a Chargers fan?
Unfortunately, yeah, we suck.
Yeah, it's been a rough year for you. You got a good quarterback, though. It's just a rough year, right?
That's an understatement, but yeah.
Yeah. So, all right, well, let's talk some heavy metal, if I may. And I appreciate you dialing in. Sean, I know you've got a lot going on all at once, and you're probably one of the harder-working metal vocalists out there in the scene these days. So the first thing I want to talk to you a little bit about is Death Dealer. Release number 2 is out, I guess, a couple months now, Hallowed Ground. Tell us a little bit about this release and how it's been going and kind of just how the reaction has been so far.
Reaction has been great. Yeah, it's been out a little over a month. We spent more time working on this record. It, it was a little more complicated than our first album, War Master, which we, started the band and wrote and recorded the entire thing in 2 months. So this was definitely, we took our time with this a little more, and it's a little more cerebral, but it's still just straight ahead heavy metal, and been getting great reviews on it. And, we've done gestated as a band more, we've done a tour, and we just did the Motorhead Motorboat cruise with Slayer and Anthrax. And so as people discover us, we're just kind of like the, everyone in the band has a kind of a pedigree. It's a little bit of a kind of a super group. And so now that we've been playing together for a while and we've done some tours all around the world, it kind of shines through on this record. It's just good, old school heavy metal. It sounds like it was recorded, in 2015.
Yeah, I was going to ask you, because I've read some other interviews that you guys have done, and you made the comment that when War Master came out, you all just kind of started collaborating and put the songs down, but had never really kind of played together. And now to your point, fast forward to present day, you've got some shows under your belt. You guys have been together more. So how do you feel like this release has kind of matured, from the first CD, War Master?
Well, the song, like I said, the songs, have got, they're more epic, I think, overall, because there's a lot of orchestration and big, 20-piece orchestra compositions that Stu did for songs like Gunslinger and, Total Devastation. And there's like, I think, 4 or so, orchestrated parts. That adds a big epicness to it. Then you've got some straight-ahead ones like, K-I-L-L. And Plan of Attack, and those songs, we did with War Master, we kind of try to cover all the angles. Like, this album has some epic, some straight ahead headbangers, some mid tempo, rockers, and then, a lot of speed and thrash in there. So it covers a wide gamut and just sounds like it's a little more mature than the first one, which it's not a good, not a good adjective, mature. I don't like to usually use that, but, I don't know. I think it's universally so far hailed as a superior product to War Master, and that's tough to say because there's a lot of songs on War Master that I love.
Sure, yeah. And, some of those songs sound like they play live really well also, right? How's the experience been and the reception from the live show that you've done with War
Master?
Well,
we were only playing a few of the new ones live, so we haven't really tested a lot of them out yet. So we'll still have to see. We're doing some. We did Break the Silence, I Am the Revolution, and What else we did? We did some Plan of Attack. So yeah, we still have a the next tour. We're gonna have a lot of the live ones going. So it'll be interesting to see. But I'm envisioning them in my head, and I think it's gonna be great.
Yeah. If I may, take us back just a little bit. I know you mentioned you referenced that this is somewhat of a heavy metal supergroup of sorts. How did this band all kind of come together? How did you guys all connect and decide that you wanted to, record together and put Death Dealer, into existence? How did that help come to be?
Well, I had done some songs with Stu Marshall from Australia, on his Empires of Eden albums, and we kind of hit it off and became friends. And then, he calls me up one day. He's like, "Mate, we got to." He was watching, like, I think the Underworld movies. Like, "Mate, we got to make a band called Death Dealer." And then we just kind of started out as a joke. We were just kind of talking about it, and then we're like, "Okay, well, who would we get in this band?" And I'm like, "Well, if we do a band, then we got to get like some people that are more famous than us, we need some help with some star power." So the first one we thought of was Mike Davis for, bass player. I'm like, who's a bass player that anyone would even give a shit about? And he had just been hanging with Mike on his vacation that he had out here, and I was friends with Roy Z, and Roy Z
Sure.
and Mike playing Halford, and Mike Davis was one of the original members of Lizzie Borden, for all their big years. So every time we go on tour, I mean, there's people bringing him Lizzie Borden, booklets to sign. So it's kind of cool. And really cool dude, great player. And so I just called him up. He's like, "Yeah, I'll be in your band." It was just like, "Oh, okay." Kind of half joking. And then
Sure.
we called Ross the Boss, and Stu was a humongous Ross the Boss fan. And I was like, not that big of a Manowar fan, but and I hit him up, and he was like, "Okay, yeah, sounds great." And then we got, we before that, I think we had called Rhino, the old Manowar drummer, who I had just seen a couple weeks earlier in Vegas, and so we had our lineup. And then since then, Rhino couldn't commit to the touring, so we had to get Steve Bolognesi from Into Eternity, and he's been just great. So yeah, man, it was weird. It started kind of as a joke, and next thing I called Stu back, like, "Dude, we got a band. I guess we got to write an album now." And now we've toured all over the world. It's been nuts.
That's awesome. And by the way, I think Mike's a pretty good chef, is he not? He can cook pretty mean dishes, can he?
Yeah, he's a great cook. He has a restaurant bar called the Love Hate Lounge, and it's in LA, and we played there, and it was great. So yeah, it doesn't hurt to have an excellent cook in the band when you're on the road.
Totally. Yeah. That's awesome. Well, you like you said, you've got an awesome group on your hands. And but one thing I was going to also ask you as it relates to those, you also mentioned that geography is not exactly kind to you all at the moment. You've got, guys in California, New York, guitarists in Australia. So how does that, and there's challenges in that clearly, but at the same time, like you also referenced that with the internet these days and being able to exchange music files, it also helped you all put this thing together to begin with. So can you describe the challenges and then also the ways that you guys are finding ways to work together in this environment?
Yeah, we wrote, all through Skype and file sharing, so that's not that big of a problem. Stu produces all the records, so we kind of just do our parts and send them to him. And Stu and I did a lot of collaborating on, writing the songs, and along with Ross, and then getting together. Yeah, three of us are in Southern California, so it makes it a little bit easier. And Stu has to fly in from Australia. That's a giant pain in the ass. Ross being in New York isn't that bad. So we've made it work so far. But yeah, it's definitely, when Stu books his flight, he's like looking at 24 hours or what if something just crazy. But that's what he gets
Yeah.
for living down there.
Absolutely. But so you mentioned the European tour. I guess that was what pretty much through 2015, and looking ahead to 2016 now. Do you have more plans to go back to Europe or play in the States, or what kind of future touring plans do you all have?
Yeah, we're working on something for probably late summer for back to Europe, and eventually we got to get to the States. So You know, we're people are dying to have us on the East Coast, so that's probably the next target. But yeah, we're going to hit Europe again because it was pretty successful in the last run we just did in July.
Awesome. And you mentioned the motorboat cruise. I wanted to ask you about that as well. Just what was your experience being on that ship? And I've heard some bands say that they really love that environment because you're really interacting with the fans. I hear some other bands, maybe not so much because everything is so close. What was your all experiences like? And do you want to do future cruises again based on your
Oh,
experience?
yeah. I mean, I don't know how anyone could say they didn't like that. It was so much fun. I mean, everyone's just in a great mood. Everyone's a diehard metalhead. Really good exposure for us because we were kind of the only, you know, true metal or classic metal act on the whole thing. So we really stood out, you know, man, just really generated a lot of interest from doing it. And just a great time, man. I definitely want to do it again.
That's awesome. So, yeah, I haven't made it on one of those yet myself, but I've had plenty of chances. So hopefully I'll get on one of these days. But that's great. I'm glad you said that because I think mostly what I hear, both from bands and fans, that it's a really kick-ass experience, and they would all want to do it again for sure.
Yeah, it's. I mean, I don't know. You can't go wrong, dude. I mean, when that we just played the other night with Exodus with Cage, and you know the boat pulls out of dock, and you know everyone's on the deck, and Exodus starts playing, and everyone's got a beer and in the pool, and it's just like you don't have a care in the world, dude. You're just like, yeah, man. 4 days,
man.
I don't have to care about anything. So it's great, man.
That's great. Okay, so. I want to transition just a little bit to Cage, and then I've got a couple of other questions I want to ask you about just metal and in general. But as it relates to Cage, another, you know, you also have a new album CD out as well, and I know you referenced a new video that just got released. So, I mean, a lot of musicians have, you know, one album out with, you know, a year or two in between, but you've got two with two different bands. So tell me a little bit about this new Cage release and kind of how you're trying to balance it all right now with Death Dealer and the new Cage album.
Well, I got three because now I'm singing with Hank Sherman and Michael Denner and Merciful Fate in the Denner Sherman band. So that's busy. We called it Pecktober, three releases in October. So we called it Pecktober. I even made a flyer and put it out all over the internet and people were like, hashtag Pecktober. So,
cool.
Yeah, so yeah, it just happened that they all happened to be released at the same time. Basically, you know, with Cage, we just did our CD release party with Exodus here in San Diego. It was packed house. It was just like old school metal days, man. Just kids up front hanging onto the front, you know, railing. Just bang, they don't even look at you. They're just like banging. You see these heads just bobbing up and down, banging their head. Huge pit, like from the first note we played, it's just like a pit going the whole time. It was so good. So yeah, the Cage band's in full swing. You know, it's different because this band's in San Diego and we all get to practice in the same room, and you know we're there, so it's a little different than having people spread out all over, and you only meet, you know, you meet up in Europe, and you know you don't really even get to practice. You just go to the first show. So you know, having, you know, this band is just a lot tighter than everything else I'm working with, just from the sole reason that, you know, we are in a room together at all times. And, you know, this is a band I've had for 25 years, so it's definitely, you know, been kind of, you know, it's my baby or whatever you want to call it. Seven albums, our seventh album, Ancient Eagle, just came out. I'm really excited being on the new label SMG because we got to do our first proper music video, which just came out amazing. And it's a horror concept album in the vein of a, you know, King Diamond, Abigail, or Them. And it's been, the reviews have been, I thought this was kind of going to be maybe the one where people are like, oh, you know, it's good, but, you know, it's going to take a while for it to grow on you. But no, man, people are just like off the, you know, right out of the gate saying this is one of our greatest, if not the greatest Cage album we've done. So that's really refreshing to hear. And like I said, having it be a concept album. I wrote a book. It's like a 140-page book you can get on Amazon by the same name, Ancient Evil, and we based the album around it. And it's got almost 80 minutes long. It's humongous. And it's got some segue pieces in there that are spoken by Blaze Bailey, the singer of Iron Maiden. He plays the main character, Elliot Worthington. And it's just been a real... it was a real fun writing it and, you know, putting this story bringing the story to life, and then you put it out there and you wonder, like, is anyone even going to give a shit about this, or are they going to think it's retarded or whatever? And just the react, the people were buying the book, at the CD release show, and I was signing books, and it's a really unique package, and horror and metal have gone together all the time, so we just tried to take it to the next level.
That's awesome. I just checked out Ancient Evil on Amazon, like you said, and that's really cool, and I wasn't aware of it, so maybe a lot of other metal fans aren't. So I love the fact that you tied it all back into your CD. Is this the first concept album that Cage has done then, or have you done...
No, we did one called Hell Destroyer, which is, one of some people consider a finest record, which is that was like an apocalypse, demons versus angels, man caught in the middle thing. A lot of conspiracy theory. That was a real fun one to do. That'd make a great movie, just like Ancient Evil would. And yeah, man, I'm just a big creator. I come from a comic book video game background, and I get to throw it into my metal, and it works.
That's great. And I noticed you were all, I guess, within 2 days coming out to the East Coast. You're going to one of my favorite metal bars ever, and I don't know how many people in metal know about this bar, even though I know a lot of people do. And when you go to New York, but you're, I guess, look what you're doing, like a meet greeter, some kind of party at Duff's in Brooklyn, and then you're playing some shows, right?
Yeah, really looking forward to it, and I haven't been to Duff's yet, and we're going to meet and greet everybody. Man, we need to bring out an acoustic guitar or something, and I don't know. I'll feel like an asshole sitting there going, "Hey, it's a meet and greet," but we'll try and entertain the people as much as you can. Come out and see us, and we love hanging with metalheads.
How did that one come together, if I may ask? You said you had never been to Duff's Brooklyn before, or did you know about the old Bellevue Bar when it used to be in Manhattan, or did you know Jimmy the owner, or how did that one come to be?
I don't know our agent booked it for us, and so I don't know who put it together, but in this tour I'm just the singer, and it feels refreshing not to have to be in charge of everything, because back in the old days I'd have to book all the shows and deal with all the minutiae of it, and this one I could just go and just worry about singing, and so it's gonna be nice. But we're everyone who's listening to this, man, we're fun and we're really funny, so you gotta come out and hang with us, because
they've got one of the greatest metal jukeboxes ever, and knowing the owner, he'll probably grab your new CD and pop it in there as well, so you guys can, jam that the whole night. But that's great that you're coming out east, and so what can fans kind of expect from these shows? Like, what kind of set list? What do you want fans to know about these upcoming East Coast shows?
15 songs, huge, like, hour-and-a-half-long set, just of speed and thrash, and... with just screaming the highest notes you probably ever heard any singer hit, the ones that only sea mammals can hear. And we love just freaking people out. We just, that show we just played, we had these kids just coming up going, "Oh my God, it was amazing." So, it's, we've been at it, like I said, 23 years. So we got our gig down, we've opened for Iron Maiden, Judas Priest. So we've hung with the best, and, you got to have good songs, though, and that's been really our key, is bringing, we got a lot of stage moves and this new lineup with some young kids. They're just going haywire. There's just head whips running around like crazy. And then just the songs are, if you like, Judas Priest, Iron Maiden, Metal Church, Testament, Wasp, or any of that stuff, you'll love Cage. So come out and check it out.
Yeah. So, I got two more questions, I guess, maybe more general in nature, but I just want to ask you, you mentioned Priest and Maiden, and I know that you've got incredible vocal range and power, and what are your thoughts on just kind of the metal classic singing versus a lot of this, I guess, growling, and I don't know if you want to call it death metal or not, just kind of that, some of these younger bands had that, it's all just screaming and growling and not so much vocals. What are your thoughts about, that different styles in the metal, genre in that regard as it relates to singing and vocals?
It's just like, none of them are ever going to stand the test of time, because there's no distinction in a lot of the screamers and growlers, in the core bands. It just all sounds like exactly the same. And, I don't know how the hell you're supposed to, you know, from, if you don't have the lyric booklet there, you can't understand one single word. So, I mean, that's half the message of music is, you know, what's being said. And you lose a lot of the power to me, you know, if you can't understand the word while you're hearing it. So, yeah, I mean, like I said, all that shit is just going to be, you know, 40 years from now, no one's going to know one of those bands, I don't think. Simply for that reason that they're just, you know, they're so generically the same by virtue of it's just the voices sound the same. That was what I liked about Testament. I mean, you know, it was an aggressive vocal, but you could still, you know, when you heard him sing, Chuck Billy, it sounded like Testament. And that's just not around for that style. So I just, you know, you can only listen to the and appreciate the instrumentation so much, and then, you know, you gotta have, you know, you gotta. I grew up on the vocal powerhouses, and that's what I lean towards.
How do you keep your voice? I mean, it sounds great. You mentioned 20 plus years later. I was fortunate. I just saw Priest two different nights in a row up in New York this past weekend, and you know, Rob still sounds amazing. So how do you, what do you do to keep your voice strong and after all these years?
Well, you know, I don't drink or smoke. That helps. And then, you know, I've lost a lot of weight, so that helps. And then it's just, you know, it's tricky, man, though. This, you know, singing like I do, it's just it's always a challenge, you know. And I'm not a perfect singer, and I don't go out there and try to be note perfect, man. I just go for it. And you know, if it's there's, I don't usually ever give a perfect performance, but I give it my all, and I'm just more about being, you know, wild, and you know, people seem to enjoy it. So yeah, I mean, there's some things, you know, in this age that I'm at that I've gotten like a lot better at, and there's other things that are, I can tell are like maybe diminishing a little bit, but you know, I'm still able to do everything. So knock on wood, man, I'll be all right.
That's great. And just kind of the last question, and I like to talk about this sometimes as well, but you also mentioned in one of your interviews about the internet and how it helps bands and record from afar, and we just talked about that. But describe a little bit in your view, just kind of the state of the metal business in general. I know you have a new label, you said, but just how is it, you know, all the free music that's available and the downloads and, you know, YouTube and everything, has it been more challenging just from a business perspective, selling music, and do you have to tour a lot more? Like, what do you feel is the state, you know, from a business side of the metal business?
Well, metal's cool because the fans are so loyal, and they'll just buy the stuff no matter what. I mean, I got so many people like, dude, I couldn't wait for the album. I downloaded it, but I'm gonna buy it at the show. You know, so that happens all the time. So
Oh,
they'll, you
man,
know,
yeah.
they'll pirate it just because they're just dying to hear it, and then they'll come to the show and buy the CD because, you know, they want it and they want to support. And that's where we put a lot of, you know, we put a lot of time and money into the product too, the artwork and the booklets and stuff. And we've always offered an advanced pre-purchase pack, and this package, you know, had, you know, flag and, you know, the book and the CD, digipack and stickers and 8x10s and picks and the stuff that you can't download. So that's the cool thing about metal being a super loyal group of fans is they want to buy the stuff. And now vinyl, the sales of vinyl are really helping too, because that's like, people are like, you know what? I want it in the vinyl format because it's cool to look at and cool to play. So we're rolling with the punches, man. But yeah, you definitely have to tour. The album sets up the tour, and playing live is really where you make the money now.
Yeah, okay, but you're right. It's good to know. I kind of feel the same. Like, hey, you got to go slap the 15 or $10 down the CD and go buy the shirt if you're gonna go to the show. Like, it's just part of the whole thing, and it's cool to know that other metalheads are thinking the same way to kind of keep supporting this thing for everybody, which is awesome.
Yeah, well, thanks for having me on the show, dude.
Yeah, man. So I appreciate everything. Anything else you want to just mention in closing, or anything we didn't
Cage.
cover that you want to just get out there? But I do appreciate
No,
your time
Cage.
and thanks.
Yeah, cageheavymetal.com, deathdealer.co, and the albums are available on Amazon and pretty much any record store you can find will have it in their database. And, you know, hit us up on Facebook because we love talking to the fans.
Great, man. Well, Sean, thanks so much for your time. We'll email the links to your PR folks, and hopefully we'll catch you on the road somewhere out there. Good luck with all your touring and new releases, and hope the Chargers can get it done tonight. So thanks so much for your time. I appreciate it. All the
Have
best,
a good
man.
One. Thank you.
See you out there on the road. Take care, Sean. Thanks,
I hope
man.
So.
All right. Take care. Bye-bye. Everybody, that was Sean Peck from Duck Dealer and Cage Heavy Metal. So thanks so much for listening in and support metal music. Visit metalforever.com and go see shows. Talk to you soon. Thanks, everybody. Have a good night.